The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Proudly sponsored by Volkswagen. Volkswagen.ie.
I'm now joined in studio by Conor Pope from the Irish Times. Every week he comes in, has a chat, talks problems. But now, first of all, let's talk toys.
Yeah, it's Christmas time nearly.
And Santa.
Yeah.
Santa is bringing a bit of nostalgia back.
Yeah, well, actually,
by the looks of things.
Yeah, what I thought I'd do is I'd have a look. I thought I'd have a look in at kind of the most enduring toys that people get for Christmas, and where they came from and their histories. And it's just a short enough little piece in the Irish Times today, but it goes from Monopoly all the way down to bikes, because an awful lot of people would assume that the bike was invented for, or at least was adopted by children early on in the history of the bicycle. But the reality is, for the first 70 or 80 years of the history of the bicycle, children never went near them. They were just a purely adult-only device. And it was only in the 1930s that someone said, you know what, kids might like these. And then it was only in the 1950s that they started being marketed to children in a big way. And now, by far, the biggest market for bicycles is obviously kids, because kids get bicycles routinely for their birthdays, for Christmas, for all the time. But it's a relatively recent phenomenon. But one of the ones that really interested me was Monopoly. Now, Monopoly was in the news in Ireland in recent weeks, because there's a new Dublin edition of Monopoly that has just been released.
Wasn't there some controversy over what was valued at a million and what wasn't?
Yeah, well, it was more like
was valued at less than something else.
Yeah, the Aviva. Well, like, the real controversy about, like, how come some companies ended up on the board, and it turned out that the company that licenses, that makes it under license to Hasbro, was basically selling some of the slots on the board. So you'd pay and you'd get a nice slot on the board. Now, to be perfectly honest, if someone approached me and said, would you like to contribute some money and get a slot on the Monopoly board, I'd love that, because that'd be great. But the interesting, Monopoly has a great story, because it was invented by this woman in the United, her name was Elizabeth McGee, I think it was pronounced. In 1903 she invented the game in America, and she invented it as a way to teach people about the dangers of capitalism and about the dangers of monopolies and concentrating all the wealth in a small number of hands. She invented it, she patented it, and then she thought nothing about it for 30 years. And then this chap, whose name just completely escapes me, I can't remember his name, but anyway, Charles Darrow was his name, and he came along in the 30s. Somebody he knew was playing this game at a dinner party. He thought, oh, that's great. He went, developed it a little bit further, patented it himself, sold it to Parker Brothers for loads of cash. He made all the money, and the poor woman who invented the game got $500 in total, and she was left penniless and bankrupt.
With no slot on the board.
And he went on to become the guy who was believed to be the creator of Monopoly. But and then an awful lot of the games that I was looking at, they were created entirely by chance. A lot of them were militaristic games. So, for instance, Putty. Now, any of your listeners who have children who are 8 or 9 or 10 will have been cursed by the explosion of popularity of Putty in recent times, because it's literally everywhere and it looks great for about 20 minutes, and then it gets stuck in your dog's hair, gets stuck in the rug, it gets stuck in your own hair. It's just a nightmare. But kids love it. But it was invented by accident, because they were trying to develop a new technology in the Second World War, and they ended up inventing Putty.
And Putty, not to be mistaken with slime.
No, slime is
a different thing altogether.
No, slime came along in the 1970s, and when I was a child, I remember we got the slime, and it was just brilliant. But of course, now you have slime, you have slime factories, you've got unicorns that poo slime. It's just an endless stream of slime.
It was a big feature on the toy show, wasn't it?
It was, and it's just hugely popular. But what's funny is to see these games coming and going and coming and going. Like, Top Trumps was a game that I would have grown up playing. Now, Top Trumps was a really stupid game, like a really silly game. You'd have all these cards and it would list all the footballers. Like, so you'd have Frank Stapleton would have 12 goals and, you know, he'd be 6'2", and you list all these things and you'd play it with your friends. But it's just gone on and on, and now you've got Top Trumps for Sherlock Holmes, for Game of Thrones. You've got Top Trumps for virtually everything. Harry Potter's a million different versions of it, and it's just it's an endless stream of things. But what's interesting about all the games that are featured in the Irish Times today is that they've been around for a long time and they're just not going away. They are just probably the most enduring ones, because some games come, some games go. I think My Little Pony, now a lot of your listeners will be going, they'll be lost when I mention we'll lose them when I mention My Little Pony. But the funny thing is, My Little Pony, which was invented in the 1980s, was massively successful in the 1980s, disappeared without a trace in the 90s. They tried to relaunch it in 2003, completely failed, and now you can't escape My Little Pony.
They're everywhere, aren't they?
They're everywhere.
Oh my God. Well, I have to say, I had a friend for Christmas, last Christmas, from Finland, and she, like, they're all into kind of board games and everything up there. And we bought a version of Discover Ireland, which I remembered as a kid. I loved it.
And I have that at home. It's brilliant.
Brilliant. And then Trivial Pursuit, we bought Trivial Pursuit because I don't think we probably weren't highbrow enough for Trivial Pursuit in our house. So I bought it thinking, this will be great. Well, you'd want to have seen like the four of us sitting around. We couldn't answer.
Yeah, it can be a bit dispiriting. But
I was like, will you bring me back to the easy game?
You can actually get a children's version of Children's Pursuit. Not saying you need that now. But you can get it.
Moving swiftly along, the problem that came in for you this week. I enjoyed some food and drink at a restaurant in Dublin yesterday with my family. My two-year-old daughter had two glasses of water with a splash of lime cordial. I was amazed to see the splash of lime was charged at €1.20 per glass of water. I didn't realise this charge applied. It wasn't set out on the menu and I wasn't told of the charge by the waitress. Maybe I was charged this before and I didn't realise, or there was a recent change in price. I feel it's very excessive given the price of a full bottle of cordial.
It's wildly excessive, and let me explain to you why. If they charge €1.20 for a glass of water with a dash of cordial in it, I'll just break down how those charges arrived at. You can buy a bottle of cordial that makes 50 pints for €3, right? So let's say this little girl got 2 pints of cordial. That means that the pub or the restaurant or wherever made a profit of €57 on their initial €3 investment of cordial. So if they sell 50 pints of cordial and they're charging €1.20 for each pint, they're making a profit of €57 from every investment.
Well, if that's the case, I wonder, should we find out where it is? And like, they'll definitely be on the monopoly board with the profits that they're making.
They have money to burn. Now, the thing is, it's not, when you say we should find out where it is, a huge number of pubs do this and a huge number of restaurants do it. And I can kind of understand where they're coming from if you're talking about charging an adult a certain amount of money. Because let's say if you've got a pub and you've got all the overheads attached to a pub. Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate here for a second. So, you know, they make all their money on the drink. So if you've got 4 adults who come in and 3 of them are drinking cordial that you're giving away for free and one of them is having a pint of Guinness, well, then you're not making any money from that space that you're paying handsomely for the rates and the electricity and all the other stuff associated with it. So you can see you kind of want to dissuade people from doing that in a way.
But I'd understand if she had said, she or he had said, I enjoyed some food and drink. Like if you went in and you just ordered 2 glasses of water and
some cordial.
But if you're given custom for food.
And that's exactly it. So they're already making a profit from you.
Exactly.
And apart from anything else, it's not like there's a whole bunch of adults in there sculling cordial. That doesn't happen in our world. You've got a child who's being given effectively a glass of water with a splash of a cordial to probably make it more palatable to their tastes. So it is absolutely outlandish that you would impose that kind of charge. And to be fair, the restaurant or pub is not doing itself any favours here. Mm. Because if you are a family business and you're serving families all the time, then you want to encourage repeat business. Mm. Now, you can be pretty sure that this listener probably won't return to the restaurant or pub wherever it was because they didn't because they'll be left with a bad taste in their mouth. So it's bad business from the publican's perspective. It's bad business from a restaurateur's perspective. I can understand why they would do it in some circumstances, but this isn't that circumstance because it's not like there's going to be a whole flood of children in looking for free cordial. And when you think about the profits that they make on that particular transaction, it's absolutely outlandish. As I say, bottle of cordial, and this is the most expensive cordial you can probably buy. €3, you'll make 50 pints for that, and as I say, if you charge €1.20 a pint, you're making a profit of €57.
Ouch.
Which is just a ridiculous amount of money to be making on something like that.
It is, and you know, that's kind of like there's the highs and the lows, because what we're reading about, or certainly what I've been reading about all over the weekend, is the cancellations for restaurants, which is a big problem. And what I thought was great, and I wondered, had you heard of it, this last minute table app on Twitter that's just been set up?
Just came across the money at the weekend, and I think it's really good idea because I have huge sympathy for restaurants, and I think it's the height of rudeness to make a reservation and then just not show up. Mm. Because restaurants need our business in the next next two weeks. And they need people's business in the run up to Christmas, because that's where they make all their money. But this new Twitter account, I think it's the Twitter account, which is dedicated to highlighting when table bookings become available at the last minute. Mm. And what it does is, it'll just, if you follow the account, I think they set up only last week and they've got 1,500 followers already, so it'll just alert you to tables that are becoming available in restaurants in the run up to Christmas. And I think that's good for the businesses, it's good for the diners, and everybody wins. Mm. And of course, the nice thing about Twitter is it's free.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, as always, Conor Pope, great chatting to you. If you want to get any problems into Conor in the next week, it's problem@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.